thank you, Jesus.
Is it the Lord's house?
Yes, it is. It's all.
Each and every one of you.
Yeah.
And I've got about four messages.
Thank you, Lord. Touch us.
I was going to go, Brother Texas, to pick one through four. And I had them numbered, but we just want to do what the Lord allows us to Sunday school to take their place.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I've got a mini sermon before I get to the main sermon.
All right.
Yes, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Thank
Brother Skinner dropped a nugget right down deep in my heart, and I've been thinking about it. And I told Sister Hunt about it, and I said, the Lord just hadn't gave me nothing else to go with it yet. And so I just want to throw it out there. Maybe we'll develop it and preach it again some other time. But he was reading the scripture about Paul, and how Paul's saying he's been beaten and all these different things. Acts chapter 14, verse number 19. You can be seated. You don't have to stand for this. This is just a little inquiry. Acts 14, 19. Talking about Paul being stoned and being left for dead. It said, there came to the certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he arose up and came into the city the next day and departed with Barnabas unto Derbe. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, he says, once was I stoned.
Yes.
Amen. I looked at that, and I put one of the little titles on there. You're going to live to tell a story.
All right.
Amen. Whatever you're going through right now, you're going to live to tell the story.
Yeah.
They were singing that song about he turned it for good.
And
God just kind of dropped this in my spirit. The devil tried to derail me. He tried to get me depressed. He tried to get me down. But God turned it around.
Yeah.
Now I'm determined.
Yeah.
Now I'm more dedicated. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God turned to the good.
Yes.
Things that the devil tries to do to us, God's got a way of turning those around and making them profitable. Amen. Romans 8:28 says,
all things.
Now we know all things
work
to the good of them who are called of God according to His purpose. Our purpose.
Yes.
Amen. There's some things I've been through that I would have prayed that God would have shielded me from and kept me away from them.
Yes.
Amen. But they made me who I am. They're part of my story.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Every one of us has got a story here this morning.
Oh, Jesus.
And either you're writing it or God's writing it.
Right.
I'd much rather have Him write it. The Bible says He's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And so the Bible says He knows the end from the beginning.
Yes, He does.
He can write a beautiful picture of my life.
Yes.
Amen. When I just take and make a mess of it. Believe me, I've tried it, and I made a mess.
Yeah.
But God took that big eraser with the blood of Jesus and erased all of my past, gave me a new future.
Oh, thank
amen.
You, Lord.
2 Kings chapter 4, amen, this is where we will pull our text from. And so if you want to stand for this, you're more than welcome to, if you're able. 2 Kings chapter number 4, I wrestled with two or three different thoughts this morning, and this is where I feel my heart settled at the most. And you preachers, you understand that. And you get a bunch of things going at the same time, and so you feel so much. And the music, when they're singing, God drops this nugget in and that nugget in, and you're like, "Whew, man, that'd go good with that message, right?
Yeah,
good with that message,
yeah,
or whatever."
Right.
2 Kings chapter 4. 25 through 30. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite.
Yes.
Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet.
Yes.
But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, "Let her alone."
Yes.
"For her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?"
Yes.
Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins, take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thy meet any man, salute him not. But if any man salute thee, answer him not again.
Yes.
And lay my staff upon the child."
On the child.
But listen to the determination of the mother. And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee."
Yes.
And he arose and followed her.
Yes.
Amen. The Lord help us just for a few moments. I want to preach on, "I will not let go of my promise."
All right.
I will not let go of my promise. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Yes, Lord.
God, we're so thankful, Lord, for another
opportunity.
God,
hallelujah.
Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for this privilege we have in coming together with our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
God, I pray this morning, God, that you will move in the preaching like you did the song service, Lord. God, we thank you for the Spirit of God we've already felt in this house. And Lord, I pray that that same Spirit, God, would anoint me to preach your word.
Yes.
God, everything that is done in this house,
yes,
we're praying and glory for it. For Lord, we can do nothing without ourselves. Lord, we must have you. And the church said,
yes.
Amen. All right, you can be seated. Just don't sit on the preacher. Amen. In the first part of this chapter, the prophet Elijah has just helped me with a woman and her two sons get into the oil business.
You remember
the lady had two boys and debt collectors were coming to take her sons.
Yeah.
She came to the prophet. She had a need and they were coming to take her kids to work off the debt. And she went to the man of God and she said, "I need some help." And he asked her, said, "What do you have in the house?" She said, "Nothing but a pot of oil."
Yeah.
And so Elijah said, "Well, go and borrow some vessels and borrow not a few. And take and pour out of your pot into those vessels and then go and sell the vessels and pay off thy debt and then go and live on the rest." I found it very interesting when I read that story that the boys still had oil in the pan and they asked the mama. The mama said, or the mama had oil in her pan still and she said, "Hey, bring me a vessel." And they said, "There is yet not another vessel." There was still more to pour, but there was no more to pour into. Can I tell you this morning, even in 2024, God has not been exhausted. God has not been
exhausted.
God still has more for us. God still has more to tell us in our heart and life than we can realize. Amen. The devil would like to tell you that you're 2024 years away from the resurrection. Surely God is no longer able. He would tell you you're 2024 years away from the outpouring of the Holy Ghost when the power of God fell in Acts chapter 2. But can I tell you, God's power is still the same. His Holy Ghost is still the same. He still pours out His Spirit on all them who are willing and believe and trust in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And say like this morning, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, today's a good day to get. Amen. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, the story doesn't end there. Then Elijah comes through a town called Shunem, and there meets a woman who constrained, or she asked, or she begged, help to stay and eat bread. The Bible tells us that as often as he came through that way, he would stop and eat of that bread. The woman, perceiving that Elijah was a holy man, she told her husband to take and build a chamber on the side of the house.
Yeah.
Men, it's no new thing for the women to take and give you to do this. This woman gave her husband up my chores. She said, "I want you to take and build a chamber on the side of the house."
Right.
For the man of God, they furnished it with a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. One day, the man of God, Elijah, came and stayed there, and he told his servant Gehazi. He said, "Call for the Shunammite woman." And when the Shunammite woman came to them, it was told her, "You have taken great care of us. We have stopped here many times. You've always been very courteous. You've always been a great host. You've always taking care of us and fed us and gave us the place to sleep. What shall be done for you to reward your kindness, to repay the kindness that you have given us? While we talk, says, shall we go and talk to the king or the captain of the host on your behalf? He told them no. And I asked them, what shall be done to you? Gehazi told Elisha, verily, she has no children, and her husband is old.
Yes.
Elisha told her that in this season next year she was going to be holding a son.
Yes.
The Shunammite woman said, please do not lie to me.
Yes.
Man of God, this has been my heart's desire.
Yes.
Man of God, this is all I ever wanted. Don't take and give me a false hope. Don't give me a promise that will not come to pass. Don't take and tell me something that's not going to be so. Man of God, whatever you do, don't lie to me. Can I tell you, it's very important and very cautious that a man of God will stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord is not dead. And if you realize in the Old Testament, they would take a false prophet out and stone him to death because he did not hear from the Lord. We have a whole society today. You can even sign up and go to school to learn to be a prophet.
That's right. Online. Yes. Really.
Amen. Yeah. You know what they tell you? We all miss sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's right.
Well, you didn't miss in the Old Testament.
That's right.
You missed once.
Paid
you paid for it. Amen. If I stand up and I say, you thus saith the Lord, I'm bringing right from the Bible, or God impressed me so strong that I can't get away from it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
The Shunammite woman said, don't lie to me. The Bible tells us that the woman conceived and bare a son, just as the prophet said it would be. The child grew up and one day went to work in the field with his father. While he is working, the child grabbed his head and said, my head, my head. The young child was carried to his mother, and he sat upon her knee and she cradled him until noon, and then the child died. Her promise, that one that she had longed for, that one that she prayed for, the one that God said she could have, her promised child, had just became deceased. She took the lifeless body of her promised child and she laid him upon the bed in the chamber and shut the door and went out. She called for her husband and said, send me a young man and a donkey that I may run to the man of God and come again. The husband said, why are you going to see the man of God? It's not a new moon. It's not the Sabbath. Is there something wrong? Is there anything that I should be aware of? Why are you going to the man of God? Why are you going to talk to the man who gave us the promise? And I love what she said. It shall be well.
Yeah.
Amen. You know why? Because what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. She realized that that's how power is all. The woman told the young man, drive and go forward, and do not slack off thy riding
for
me unless I bid thee. She said, my prayer is urgent. My prayer is a matter of life and death. My son is laying at the house. I've got to get to the man of God. Can I tell you, there's been times I went through things I just could not wait to get into a place of prayer.
Going.
Right.
She was on a mission. Her promise laid dead on the bed. Elisha saw the Shunammite woman coming and told Gehazi, go and ask her if it is well with thee and with thy husband and with the child. And she answered, it is well.
Yeah, it is well.
Amen. How many of you know that song?
It is well with my soul.
It is well with my soul.
Yes.
And the story behind that.
Tell us. Yeah.
That man.
Uh-oh.
He was a businessman in Chicago.
Yes, he was.
The Chicago fire burned up a lot of his business.
Yes.
He had a son who died of pneumonia, and he had four daughters that were left. They got ready to go overseas, and he sent his wife and daughters ahead because he had a business deal that he needed to take care of. And while they were sailing across the sea, their boat collided with another boat,
yeah,
and their boat sunk, and all four of his daughters went to the bottom of the sea,
yeah,
and yet his wife was saved alone. His wife made it to the other country, and she sent a telegram back to her husband and said, saved alone, I do. And then the man, I used to know his name, is listening right now, but he took it, he got on the next ship available, and he went. And when they got to the spot where that ship went down and his daughters were buried in that watery grave, the captain brought him up to the quarter and told him, this is about the area where the ship went down that hosted your four daughters. And he began to write the song, when pains like a river sail us that way. And he wrote, it is well with my soul. And he arose and followed her. The Shunammite woman said, I will not leave unless you go with me. You promised me this child, and now I refuse to let go of my promise. I will not let my promise die. Can I tell you this morning, friends? God has given you a promise. Hang on to it with everything you have. And then sometimes it's all you got to hang on to. Amen. Our promises are our hope. Amen. Sometimes all we have is the hope. All we have sometimes is the rope of hope that we can hang on to. There's been times I've had a tie knot and just hang on to the knot. Amen. Sister Hunt's got a shirt that says when you're hanging by a thread, make sure it's the thread from the heel of his garment. And I tell you this morning, hope is the only thing we have left sometimes.
Amen. Yes.
Elijah knows all too well about God's promises. You see, Elijah followed Elijah around for some time. And when the time came that Elijah was going to be taken away from Elisha, and Elijah asked Elisha, what shall be done for thee? Elisha said, oh, that I would have a double portion of your anointing.
Yes.
Elijah says that thou hast a hard thing, nevertheless, if ye see me when I am caught up, it shall be so. Elisha could not afford to become distracted by the things around him. All this time, those classmates, so to say, the sons from the school of the prophets, were looking and saying, know ye not that your master is going to be taken away today? And he would say, yeah, I know it, but just hush up. I'm not going to stop. Elijah even tried to tell Elisha, hey, just stop right here. I've got to go yonder. No, sir. Where you go, I go.
Amen.
If you're going to Bethel, I'm going to Bethel. If you're going across the Jordan, I'm going across the Jordan.
Yes.
Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Amen. I told you this the other day. Amen. Elijah had took and pushed his servants away and then was in a cave all depressed by himself. But Elisha said, I'm not going to let my man of God out of my sight. I'm not going to let the man of God go through what he's going through alone. And I tell you, this time that we're in, and there's grief and there's sorrow going on. Amen. Now's not the time to take and let somebody bear the burden alone. Now's the time we be the brothers and sisters that God has called us to be. That we embrace one another. And we say, hey, Elisha understood the power of a promise. Elisha said, I have a promise and I will not let it go. The sons of the prophets stood mocking, trying to get him to stop. But he said, oh, I'm more determined now than I've ever been. In the book of Genesis, we read of a woman by the name of Sarai, and she was barren. God promised her, Abram, a son. Sarai was pregnant with a promise before she was ever pregnant with the promise.
Amen.
Even though it seemed like God was taking His time at fulfilling the promise that He had given. But if God has given you a promise, you can rest assured that the promise will come to pass.
Yes.
Don't let doubt and unbelief abort the promise that God has given you here today. Amen. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible tells us the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us, by the glory of God, and in Him, amen. You know what that word, amen, means? So let it be. Amen. That's what I rise and say this morning about my promise. God, you give me a promise. I haven't seen the fulfillment of it yet, but I'm going to stand and proclaim, amen. So let it be. Amen. If you gave me the promise, God, I know that you'll bring it to pass in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Elijah went to King Ahab, and he told him that it was not going to rain again. So the next chapter tells us in a span of 3 years goes by, and Elijah goes and Ahab and said, it's going to rain again. Elijah said in 1 Kings 18:41, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. But then Elijah goes up to the Mount Carmel and begins to pray. He tells the servant, go and look and tell me what you see. Servant goes, he looks, comes back and says, nothing but blue skies. Elijah don't go, well, I guess I missed it. He gets down, puts his head between his knees, and he prays again. He sends his servant off. Servant comes back. What do you see? Nothing but blue skies. Elijah goes, okay. Gets down. He prays again. Sends the servant again. This happened 7 times. He sends the servant to go and look. But on the 7th time, the servant saw a cloud the size of a man's hand.
Yes.
That was all the promise he had.
Yes.
Just the size of a man's hand. In the vastness of a blue sky, one little bit of cloud.
That's right. That's right.
Don't get so caught up in what you see or don't see. Because a lot of times what we see blocks off what we hear.
Amen.
I believe I told this story here before. It's the story of the Wisconsin Badgers. It was October 16th, 1982. The Wisconsin Badgers were playing the Michigan State Spartans. There were 78,187 people inside of Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin. The game was not going in the favor of the home team, the Wisconsin Badgers. They were losing. And they were losing it bad. The reporter who wrote about this story said that something unique was happening. Even though the home team, the Badgers, were losing, the crowd just kept cheering. The reporter said in all the years that he had covered sports, and he had never seen a crowd cheer for a team that was being shut out the way the Wisconsin Badgers are. He just couldn't understand why they were still whooping and hollering when their team was being whooped. Amen. You know, the world looks at us and we come in and Brother Nathaniel's hopping, playing the bass, and Sister Marissa's crying and swaying and dancing in the spirit, and Brother Skinner's up here worshiping, and people out there are hooping and hollering and are worshiping.
Yes.
The world looks at us and goes, y'all are a bunch of nut jobs.
Yes, we think so.
Amen. You know, people used to come to the apostolic church to watch us worship.
See the show, that's right.
Amen. I used to say we had fairy dust that we would take and sprinkle on people. Man, there's been times I wish I had some.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Amen. I've been in some churches that it felt like I had to pull the wagon up the hill by myself.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to jump on when it come time to ride it down the hill. Amen. I've been in those church services where you strained your gut and you preached and you lost your voice and done everything. You couldn't even get a Baptist amen, which is a head nod. Amen. I've been in those places. But I've been in those places too where they preached me to a puddle because they were screaming just as loud as I was.
Yes. Yes.
But people come in to apostolic churches and they used to, you know, we used to call them, be called holy rollers, and it wasn't because we wore rollerblades and skates. Amen. We used to roll in the floor.
Right. Yeah.
I remember them talking about a camp meeting in Oklahoma that had sawdust floors. And it was an open air tabernacle.
Yes.
And this guy said, when I was a kid, I used to go and sneak. He wasn't a Christian, but he used to go and sneak into the bushes and watch the people. They would get in there and they'd get to sweating and shouting and running and then roll around in the sawdust and come up and look like a chicken stick.
Yeah.
Y'all know what them are? Chicken stick.
Yeah, I do.
And it had sawdust all over them.
Yes.
He said, but it was something about their enthusiasm of worship. It was something about the way they behaved that draw him to it. And eventually he did hide in the bushes and got into the arbor.
Yes.
And got in there and God saved him and made him a holy roller.
Yes, yes,
amen.
Yes.
We used to be known by those kind of things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. But now, thank God for it. The only thing they know us by is our standard.
Amen.
Our standard, the apostolic church still has a standard. I'm glad
yes.
The apostolic church of Jesus Christ in Plant City still holds a standard.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's what sets us apart.
Yes.
That and our doctrine.
Amen. Yes.
But the world looks at us and they say, man, you're crazy. All that. The hooping and hollering, all the things you've been through. My wife and I have told you some of the stories, and I won't rehash another story, Brother Skinner. Amen. But my mother-in-law, she, after Sister Hunt and I had been through some woozy doozies, my mother-in-law said, there's got to be something to what y'all have, because y'all haven't given up through all the mess you've been in.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Amen. Now, she said she would get baptized, but she's afraid she'll get the Holy Ghost. And then, you know, her husband, my father-in-law, would lose his mind.
Yes, Lord, touch
him. And she grew up Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. So she knows things about church.
Yes,
touch him. Amen. But I, this morning, I just don't want anything to hinder my praise.
That's right.
I mean, I don't want anything to stop me from worshiping God with everything that I have. Brother Randy Williams told his church, he told the young men in his church, I was staying there, he said, you'll go to the basketball court, you'll play basketball until you sweat down, and you'll come to church and sit on the pew and not do anything. Basketball is your God.
That's right.
Amen.
Wow.
I believe God put as much effort into the house of God as we do everything else.
Yes.
All right.
So this reporter, when halftime came, this reporter went into the stands to interview some of the people in the stands. Now, Sister Hunt and I seen a guy walking around with one of these just a couple days ago. A Walkman radio. Yeah, that's like antique.
That's,
and that's old.
80s, that's 80s stuff.
Sister Hunt goes and looked at me like, what in the world? What's that? I mean, you tell somebody about an iPad or what's the little MP3 players or iPod or something, they probably look at you and go, I don't know about those. Amen. But this when the reporter went up into the stands, these people had these old Walkman radios, and they had them in their ears. Of course, this is in the 80s. Here's what the reporter found out. 80 miles away, Wisconsin's professional baseball team, the Milwaukee Brewers, were playing Game 4 of the World Series. And the Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals. These fans were tuned in to a different station.
Yes.
Even though all they could see was defeat, all they could see was the team losing, but in their ear they heard something else about a team that was winning.
Yes.
And affect your promise, but let your promise affect your problem.
That's right, that's right.
Hallelujah.
That's a different station.
We just got to get tuned into heaven radio.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Amen. What did Jesus say? Oh, when the coming of the Lord shall be, there'll be rumors of war. There'll be earthquakes in all those places.
Yes.
There'll be giving and giving in marriage. There'll be drinking and doing all this craziness. Look at all the craziness we got going on in our world today. There's earthquakes happening everywhere. There's wars and rumors of wars all around us. And we're seeing marriage just so crazy. Amen.
Yes.
Man can marry man, woman can marry woman, and all these things. And they're trying to make it legal to where a guy can marry an animal.
That's
or a woman
right.
can marry an animal. Bestiality is now on the books, can I tell you?
Yes.
We're living in a bad day. We're living in a day such as Noah. But what did Jesus say when you see these things come to pass?
Yes.
Take them and lift up your eyes. You know what that means? You take part of it.
That's right.
Amen. It's not just, I pray, Jesus forgave me, now I'm saved, I just go do what I want.
Come on.
It's not how it works.
That's right.
Amen. You've got to prepare yourself.
Yes.
What was it? The ten girls there, the ten virgins. Five were wise and five were foolish. It's just because five of them didn't prepare themselves.
That's right.
They didn't bring any extra oil. They were not prepared. Can I tell you, we're living in a day where we got to be prepared.
Amen.
Amen. Not just in spirituality, but in life.
Right, right.
Because we never know what's coming around the corner. Sister Hunt at one time was testifying in a church we were preaching at, and she said, I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I'm glad I know. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm glad I know who holds tomorrow. And then I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow when I get up. I really don't even know what I'm going to face the rest of today. I got up yesterday thinking I was going to have a good day when the four iron lost my truck key. And had to drive my father-in-law's Jeep all the way back home. And then I go all the way back down here this afternoon with my other truck keys. I get my truck all the way back. You never know what a day holds. Amen. I need to look into that. Now we got on keep your truck. I can't hide that one.
That's what you done down there.
It's hidden. That's the problem. But you never know what your day is going to, what's going to unfold in your day.
That's right.
Amen. You never know what's going to unfold in your life.
That's right. That's right.
That's why you must trust the one
yes.
who holds tomorrow. He knows what tomorrow is going to bring.
Yeah.
And he knows the trouble you'll face, and he also knows his grace will be sufficient. First Samuel chapter 16. We read about a young man who was anointed to be the next king. This young man was named David.
Yes.
He was the youngest son of his father,
yes.
Jesse. In chapter 17, we find David, he is following his father's orders. His father said, here, take this bread, take this cheese, take it to your brothers, give some to the captain of the army. And David goes on this mission. When David gets there, he notices that all the men are kind of hiding behind rocks and hiding in their tent. David's walking around going, what are y'all doing?
Yes.
Are y'all not Saul's army? Are you not the army of Israel? Are you not God's army? And about that time, across the ridge on the other hill, this big old dude stood up and said, hey, send me a man that we may fight.
Yes.
And if I win, you'll serve us.
Yes.
But if I lose, then we'll serve you.
Serve you, yes.
And everybody's looking across that hill and thinking, that's a big dude.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they're all scared. Mm-hmm. No doubt thinking, I don't want to be the one that puts our people in slavery. I don't want to be the one that loses his battle.
Yeah.
Everybody looked at the giant of a man and got scared and went and hid. David David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?"
Yes,
David never one time called him a giant.
Nope. That's right.
David never one time said, "That's a big dude."
Nope.
Yeah. David called him out for what he was.
All right.
An uncircumcised Philistine. Who is that guy?
Yes.
Oh, that's the champion. His name's Goliath. And they start talking about all the accolades. He's been a warrior ever since he was a child. He's got more kills and notches in his belt than probably anybody in that army over there. David said, Okay. So he goes to Saul and says, "Hey, you know that guy over there that's bellowing and making a bunch of racket? Can I go shut him up?" Now, I know that's not how the Bible says it. Just give me some creative liberty. Amen. Brother Hunt paraphrased. So David, they tried to feed him with Saul's army. Now, I don't think Saul, who was head and shoulders above everybody else, tried to take that big old bulky armor of his and put it on top of David.
Yeah.
It would have never worked.
Yeah.
But Saul was the captain of the army.
It was his army.
So all the armor belonged to him. So I'm sure they found some armor that fit him pretty well. And David,
looking at this thing, and
probably was like an idiot tinfoil. And David goes, "No, this ain't gonna work. I've never used this. I've never fought like this before." Oh,
yeah.
David, that man across the hill over there, he's a champion. David said, "You know what? There was a time that I was sitting on the hillside and I heard a bah!" I should be in Sunday school. Amen. David said, "I looked and a bear had one of my lambs," and he said, "I took my sling." Now he don't say this, but I believe this is my take on it. He took that sling and hit that bear. That bear turned and he came after David. And David took and slew that bear with his bare hands. Same thing with the lion. The lion came, grabbed one of the lambs. David took and grabbed that lion and ripped him apart with his bare hands.
Yes.
Amen. And then he looked at Saul and said, "And this uncircumcised Philistine on the other side of the hill over there, he's going to be just like one of them." Can I tell you, sometimes the battles you win in private is what propels you to your public ministry.
That's right.
Amen. I remember when I was a kid, 1991, after I preached my first message, and I didn't start preaching all the time after that. No. Dad had me cutting talents and raking yards and things like that, because he always told me a microphone fits good in your hand and a rake does.
Yes.
Amen. That's good.
You learn how to hold a rake, you learn how to hold a microphone.
Learn how to work, yes.
Amen. My dad taught me the value of the keeping the house of God clean. I told somebody one time, I said, "I never hunted. I killed my first deer at 37 years old, because that was the first time I went hunting."
Yes.
Every Saturday, we were at the church, cutting the yard, cleaning the church, getting ready for Sunday. Sunday we had church, Dad worked a full-time job during the week.
Yes.
But when June came around and the mayflies hit the water, that's when we went fishing.
Mm-hmm.
We always went fly rod fishing. Every year. And my dad was a no-nonsense guy. You did not get to go fishing until you could take a fly rod, he would put paper plates in the yard, and you had to take a landing bee on a paper plate. He didn't want you out there throwing into the bushes and everything else. He wanted you to know what you were doing when you got there. He was there to fish, not take care of you.
Yes.
So when I was a kid, that's what we did. We, every Saturday, we cleaned the church, we took care of the church, we cut the grass, done different things. Day repairs that need to be done, that was done on Saturday. And then we went to church on Sunday. Monday, Dad went to work, I went to school, and we waited until the weekend, we did it all over again.
Yes.
But when you're invested to the house of God, it gives you an appreciation for the house of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So David, here he is, he goes to Saul and says, "I'll take care of this guy for you." And they said, no. But David said, "Yes." You know why David could go into that battle with full of confidence? Because in chapter 16, he was anointed to be the king.
That's right.
And David says, here I am. I don't have a crown yet. I am not the king. So I have a promise that I will be the king. So there ain't no devil. There ain't no giant. There ain't a javelin throwing us off. There's nothing that can stop me from the destiny that God has given me, because He's already gave me the promise.
Yes.
Amen. David would walk into war and defeat the opposing army's champion because he believed in the promise that one day he would be the king. Not even Saul's javelin could stop the promise of God. David could write, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil," because the promise had not yet been fulfilled in his life. I know we talked about this just a few weeks ago. The disciples were told by Jesus to meet him on the other side, and while the disciples were sailing, the Bible said a contrary wind blew against them, and they became fearful. When the storm started blowing, they soon forgot that God said, "Meet me on the other side." How often it is when we get in those hard times, we start forgetting the promises of God. Even Joseph, Bible says that God gave him a couple dreams, gave him a couple promises. Joseph goes through life some 23 years, and then his brothers come, and then the Bible said, and Joseph remembered the dreams. Somewhere in the course of going to prison, somewhere in the course of being in the dungeon, somewhere in the course of being sold by his brothers and lied on and all these different things, the promise seemed to fall away in his life. But then he remembered the promise and seen that God was fulfilling the promise right there in his life. And then he's the one that said, "What you meant for evil,
that's right,
God turned it for good,
that's right,
to save much people."
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. You're looking at your life and you say, "I just don't see where the promise is, Brother Hunt." Just give it a few years, a few months, and you look back and you see what God was doing. And if nothing else, you've got a testimony saying, "Hey, God can bring you through it. God brought me through it, and God's no respecter of person. You can make it. You can hang on."
Amen.
When the storm started, they somehow lost the promise. But can I tell you this morning, stay the course. Where God's favor points the way, His hand will make a way. If you're going through something, just keep on walking. Soon that which is in front of you will be behind you. Now forgive the country song reference. If you're going through hell, just keep going.
Yes.
They say you'll come out before the devil even knows you're there. Something to that effect. Amen. Whatever you're facing right now, just keep going forward. Because eventually it'll be behind you. Don't ever stop. Don't ever give up. God told Moses to lead the people of God out of Egypt. First thing they come to is the Red Sea. Bible says there's a mountain on the east side, a Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's army coming up behind them. Sounds like they're in a pinch. Sounds like a checkmate situation.
Yeah, it did.
I'm sure there were some that, well, we know they started complaining. Were there not enough graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to die?
Yes.
They forgot the promise that soon.
That's right.
God said, "I'm going to give you a land full of milk and honey."
Yeah.
Even when he talked to Moses, he had to convince Moses, because Moses kept coming up with, "Well, Lord, I can't speak." "Okay, thank you, brother." Yeah. "Well, Lord, what if they don't listen?" The Lord told him like 8 times, "I will." Mm-hmm. He had a done deal. It was laid out. "I'm going to deliver my people."
Yeah.
"I'm just going to use you to do it." "No, I can't do that." "I'm going to do it. I just need you to be my mouthpiece."
Right. Yeah.
"But Lord, I can't speak." I'm sure the Lord looked at him every once in a while. "I'm telling you, I'm going to do it. I just need you to go be the mouthpiece." And we know how the story ends. But they find themselves at a Red Sea. Looked like they were caught in a bad situation. But God calls the Red Sea to part, and the children of Israel walk through on dry ground. One man said, God may be taking you through the Red Sea to kill that which is trying to kill you. Moses said, stand still and see the promise of God. But then God said, go forward. I was testifying at a church in Arkansas. And that night I said, you can stand still and watch it happen, or you can go forward and experience the happening.
Yeah.
The choice is ours.
Yes,
we can let our problems take and keep us from our promise, and we just sit there and we look at the promise that God has given us, and we never walk to the fulfillment of it. Because, well, I'm just going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'd rather go forward and experience the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah, all right.
Amen. I want to go forward. I don't want to. In 2024, I want to go further in the Lord than I've ever been before.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Brother Pickard, Brother Ron Pickard, Mobile, Oklahoma, used to tell backsliders. They said, oh, pray that I can get back to where I once was in God. He said, no, go further. You fell from there.
That's right.
Go further than that.
That's good. That's right.
Amen. I want to go further in the Lord than I've ever been.
Yes.
If God brings you to it, God will bring you through it.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. When we are even on God's promises, we can be like the Apostle Paul in Acts 27. Amen. We talked about this the other day. Even in a storm called a Rockadon, Paul was able to stand up and say, brothers, be of good cheer. It's going to be all right. We're going to make it. We're going to survive.
Yes.
Amen. We know how the story ends. They made it.
We know.
Amen. Sometimes life gets hard. Sometimes our promises seem out of reach. Sometimes it seems like that God will never fulfill the promises that He has given us. We have so many promises in the Word of God that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
All right.
No matter what we go through in life, God will be there with us.
Thank you.
We have promises of healing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Exodus 15:26, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Yes.
We have a promise of life after death. Luke 20:36. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. We have a promise that if we teach our children this truth, that when they are old, they will not depart. Proverbs 22:6, turn up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That doesn't mean that your child will never backslide. We hope they never do. But if they do, the things that you have taught them will still be within them.
Right.
And when they get to the place where the prodigal son was, they remember daddy's house. And you won't find them going to a compromised church. You won't find them going to a non-truth church, because they've had this rooted and grounded within them, and this is where they'll come back to.
Yeah.
We must instill this apostolic way of life into our children. We must teach them to pray. We must teach them to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. Amen. We, for years, when Stevie was just a little child, I would put her to bed, and I would pray with her. And we'd pray a prayer. And then she had Acts 2:4. Deuteronomy 2:4 in a plaque above her bed. And we had one above our door as you went out of the house. I said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Lord, yes.
Every night, we'd put her to bed. We'd say our prayers. We would quote the scripture. And I'd give her a kiss and tell her good night. Every night for years. Why? Because the Bible said, when thou liest down, when thou raisest up, amen, teach it to your children. Amen. I want my daughter to know that there's only one Lord, one God here. Amen. I want my daughter to know that there's one God, And his name is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. We have a promise that God will supply all of our need. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Yes.
He knows the end from the beginning.
That's right.
Now, I'm not preaching predestination. I'm not preaching Calvinism. But God has a place he's trying to get each and every one of us to.
That's right. Yes, he does.
And sometimes our decisions derail it, and then God has to take it, reroute it, to get us back to where we need to be.
Yes.
Amen. Psalms 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Yes.
I quoted it earlier, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby we give unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God, and we quoted this earlier, and God are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. We have a promise that if we pray, that God will answer us.
Amen.
You say, Brother Hunt, I prayed and prayed and prayed for things that God never answered. He may have been. It just may have been no.
That's right.
It may be not yet. Not now. He sees you're not mature enough. He sees you're not developed enough for what you're asking for. So you got to let you grow some more. We have a promise that if we pray that God will answer us, John 15:7-8. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you can't pray against the will of God, you can't pray amiss. Amen. That's why Jesus said, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know there's one will stronger than God's will, and that's the human will. The human will can stop the will of God. Acts chapter 2, we read of 120 in the upper room. And God sent his spirit and fills the house. And cloven tongues of fire set on each of them. The Bible says they staggered out of the streets, still speaking in tongues. And the people who were in Jerusalem thought every one of them was drunk. But Peter stood and said, these are not drunk, as he supposed, seeing how it is for the third hour of the day. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And the last day said, God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Peter said, this is the fulfillment of that promise.
Right, yes.
Amen. How many believe we're living in the last days?
Yes, we are.
Yes. Amen. Can I tell you that fulfillment is still happening?
Right. Yes.
Amen. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, today is a good day to receive it.
Right.
Receive him. Amen. I believe one of the greatest promises we have is found in Acts chapter 2.
Yes, it is.
In verse 39. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
Amen. We're part of that far off
place. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Far out. Yes. I refuse to let go of my promise this morning. Sister Aunt and I, we have children who are not in the church. We have children that are not saved. And I hold to this promise that it's unto you and to your children. Amen. Thank God. Seaweed has been filled with the Holy Ghost. He's been baptized in Jesus' name. And we're trying to cultivate, amen, some things in her life. But we have other children who are not yet born again of water and spirit. And I pray and I say, oh God, whatever you have to do, save their soul.
Yes.
And I've seen them go through some hard things. I've seen them go through some rough patches. And our daughter, she had a near-death experience in a car wreck. there was an oak tree and a palm tree, and the girl she was with decided she wanted to kill everybody in the car and just off the road. And God steered that car over just a little bit and hit the palm tree, and the palm tree gave and fell over. But it still, it broke her jaw, split her chin in half, and broke her jaw and things. She had surgeries and whatnot. But God spared her life.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And she knows what it is. She's been in church. And she one day we're riding down the road, and she says, "Hey, you know when you're sitting in church and you feel like the hair is tingling on your neck and you get goosebumps and all those things?" She said, "I think that's just hormones." And I said, "Well, baby, boys and girls don't have the same hormones."
That's right.
And then it hit me. I said, "Oh, you felt these." She said, "What? What?" I said, "Baby, that was the Holy Ghost."
That's the Holy Ghost, yes.
Man, we was having a revival. She came, and Brother Mike Heron was preaching. And Brother Mike Heron had prayed a couple of people through to the Holy Ghost, and she was sitting back there, and she had tears in her eyes, and he went back there, and she said, "Oh, no, not yet. I'm not ready yet." And I thought, man, that close. But the promise is to us and to our children. I received my promise. Amen. And I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of our children get their promise.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
They used to sing a song. I said, "Every promise in the book is mine."
Yes.
Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our message of His love divine, every promise in the book is mine. This morning, no matter the depth of the valley, no matter the roughness of the storm, no matter what I may face, whether it be Goliath or Saul with a javelin, as long as I never lose my promise, I shall be victorious.
All right. Yes.
I'm going to see a victory. Amen. I'm going to see it. God has given this church some promises. Amen. In 2024, amen, it's going to be the year that we see a lot of promises come to pass. God teaches this principle that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. God gave His church promises, and I believe that God is going to bring them to pass. I refuse this morning to let my promise go. We know how the story of the Shulamite woman, Elijah, is. Elijah comes in, he lays upon the towel, he gets eye to eye, nose to nose, mouth to mouth. The towel becomes warm, it sneezes seven times, and comes back to life. Even if you feel like your promise has died this morning, can I tell you, God can revive it today. God can fulfill and renew the promise in your life. You say, "Brother Hunt, it's been so rough, it's been so hard. I don't see how the promise will ever come to pass." But if God's given you a promise this morning, Abraham had to get rid of Ishmael first before he got his promise. Isaac was promoted to the place of promise. See, Ishmael was a product of his flesh. Sometimes we just got to get our fleshly desires out of the way. Say, "God, whatever you want for my life, leave your Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let the word speak to me. Show me things I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness that you can take what's wrong and make it right. I need Jesus to shine on me today." Amen. Let's all stand. The Bible says that maybe they'll see God's good works. See your life, the Lord thy God, who is in heaven. This morning, are you here? And you say, "Brother, I've got some promises, but they seem to be so far off. They seem to be so far away." Can I tell you this morning? Though it tarry, wait for it. For the promise will come to pass. And God will never give you a promise that He won't fulfill. God told Abraham, "I'll make you a great nation." Two generations later, believing in the promise. Isaac died believing in the promise. Jacob, the promise was fulfilled in his life. Maybe you're here this morning, you're a couple promises given a couple generations ago. And you heard your grandparents and you heard your elders talk about the promises that God had given the family. And you're sitting here this morning and going, well, Grandpa's passed it. The promise didn't get fulfilled. Daddy passed and the promise didn't get fulfilled. And will you be the one that neglects the promise?
Thank you this morning.
Jesus.